the early morning radio lines. It's like, what do we care about time and whatever it is?
I was thinking about that the other day. EMRA, the Early Morning Radio Alliance.
Paul Wonder started things. We need to keep certain things up. Mm-hmm. Anyway, around about 3:30 or around about that, then guess what? Yes, Anthony will give you a decidedly different view than what Uncle Sidney gave you.
So it wasn't demons, huh?
No, actually, there's the building. We definitely do not. Let me put it this way: there's going to be all sorts of cleansings trying to be done to this space, and I don't want to let people cleanse. But the cleansing we need is, as they say in the old world, get the heck out of here. And that's one of the things I propose, but that's neither here nor there right now. Let me just continue to tell you what's going to go on. Then from 3:30 to about 5:30, yes, Anthony will give you a decidedly different view. And guess what? You will be able to participate. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that what you may want or may not want? But that'll happen. And then about 5:30, we're going to have maybe if I can wake her up, we might have guests on the line. And then about 5:55. Prisoner Shadow Line will come, and that'll be it. Maybe other people will stop through the program this morning. I don't know. Let's hope that it will happen. But right now, at 1 minute past, 1 minute and a half, well, whatever. It's past 3:00 in the morning, and we go to Stephen Roadway.
Sweet, I had to go back to it. Stephen Road, a warrior, here with you this morning, folks. Music. The things you could do with it. I'll be right back with Taking It to the Streets. I'm just enjoying this so much. Hold on a sec. Yes, and that's Johnny King with a piece titled Warmongers. Well, this morning I have a lot of stuff for you, but due to the way things are right now, I really didn't even know how to really put this program together. But hopefully, you know, you'll be hearing it. Otherwise, if not this morning, then definitely you may be hearing it at another time. But anyway, I have some people who are really concerned about the Indian Point situation, and they're trying to have that nuclear plant shut down. And they will give you some of the reasons as to why they really don't want to have that plant in their neighborhoods, because we here and the rest of the city will pay dearly for it should that plant have a problem or even be attacked the way the World Trade Tower was. And the interview that you'll be hearing is just a little piece of maybe 45 minutes, which had been taped previously. But without further ado, let me just bring in that piece, and I'll be right back. In case I didn't tell you, I'm Stephen Roadwarrior, and you're listening to Taking It to the Streets here on 99.5 on the FM dial in New York City, WBAI.org on the internet, streaming at 2600.com worldwide. Thanks to Emmanuel Goldstein, his Off the Hook crew, and of course, Mark Marshall. I'll be right back.
My name is Mark Jacobs. I'm with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition and Citizens Awareness Network of Westchester and Putnam. These are both coalitions formed because of our concern about the dangers of the Indian Point nuclear power plant. I also am in the unfortunate position of living only 4 miles from the plant with my wife and my 5-year-old son. We're here because we think it's very important to raise the awareness of people, not just in Westchester and Putnam, but also in all the boroughs of New York City, about the dangers of Indian Point. Many people are not even aware that they live nearby a nuclear power plant. Those of us who live right in the neighborhood up in Westchester, the plant is located in Buchanan, New York, where there are 2 operating nuclear reactors, Indian Point 2 and Indian Point 3, both pressurized water reactors. We're very much aware of the plant and its dangers, but then when you get a little further away, people don't always know that there's a nuclear power plant in the area and know that it can indeed impact people. And just to give you a sense of the potential risk from the plant, according to a 1982 Nuclear Regulatory Commission study, which they had done for them by Sandia National Laboratories, where they assessed the damage from a most severe accident, a meltdown, where there would be a complete loss of containment and bad weather conditions. The result in 1 year in death and destruction from Indian Point 2 melting down would be 46,000 dead in just 1 year. And from Indian Point 3 melting down, it would be 50,000 dead. And we're not just talking about people who live right around the plant. The peak death radius is 17.5 miles around the plant, and the peak injury zone is 50-mile radius around the plant, and 50-mile radius from the plant goes to the tip of Lower Manhattan. So this is certainly a plant which concerns a much larger area than people may originally have been aware.
Hello, my name is Joan Ndusi. I'm a member of WestPAC, the Westchester People's Action Coalition, and I've been involved with the issues surrounding nuclear power as well as Indian Point for over 20 years now. The evacuation plan stems from a regulation enacted after the Three Mile Island meltdown in 1979 to boost public confidence in nuclear power, which is dangerous, dirty, and a dying technology. It was not meant to protect the public, and quite the contrary, it was meant to protect the industry. The 10-mile radius around Indian Point, everyone had to have some kind of a safety evacuation plan in the event of a major nuclear release. That 10-mile limit was very arbitrary, as we all know that radiation released anywhere is really radiation released everywhere. It doesn't stop at the 10-mile limit. What the industry and the county came up with was three scenarios involving school children, two scenarios involving the general population. The easiest for them was sheltering. Basically, what they would say is that if there were a major nuclear release, people would have to go into their homes, close their doors and close their windows, and stay there. That's fraught with inaccuracies, and it flies in the face of reality. First of all, how long are you going to have to stay in your home? What about the air that comes in from outside? Glass offers no protection from gamma radiation. The second scenario would be actual evacuation. Bus drivers would have to come in with buses and come and take people out of the 10-mile radius and bring them to other areas. The question, of course, is who gets on the buses first and who gets left behind? The reception centers that are designed to take people are not prepared. I know because I've written to many of them. Some of them don't even exist. Who's going to decontaminate the buses? During the school day, adults and parents are not allowed to pick up their children. Their children have to go on these buses. Well, who's going to stop a parent from taking a child? And does the administration of a school have the authority to prevent a parent from picking up their child and taking their child? There's a third scenario if school is in session, and that's called the go-home plan. In other words, in the event of a major nuclear release, one scenario would be that children are told they have to go home during the school day. Well, first of all, they could be going home during the middle of the release. Some children may not actually go home because young children may not know the severity of something like this. They're frightened. They may be going home to empty homes. Bus drivers may not be available during the middle of the day. Traffic congestion would be exacerbated. It's just fraught with inaccuracies and with inconsistencies.
My name is Ken Gale. I wrote Chernobyl on the Hudson back in, 85 when that accident happened. I was active with the New York City Shad Alliance fighting Indian Point and the Shoreham nuclear power plants back in 1980 and have been gathering information on this subject for years. Add to what Mark mentioned, because that 1982 study by the NRC, which is supposed to be in charge of nuclear safety, also mentioned, besides the 46,000 dead, 140,000 injuries, 13,000 cancer deaths, that's beside the 46, and property damage in 1982 figures of $274 billion. Okay, and a greater number for Indian Point 3. A meltdown at one would probably cause a meltdown at the other, so add these figures together. But you want to know something? I think half of you just tuned us out when we started rattling off numbers. And I think that's what the NRC is doing on purpose. They want you to tune out because those numbers are too large, too hard to deal with. And this way, you won't become an activist. But you'll find out why you should do that coming up and what people have already done.
This is Joan again. We have to keep in mind that the regulations say that there has to be an emergency plan. It does not have to be workable. And in fact, they have had drills, and the drills are less than a charade. In fact, they merely test telephone lines and sirens, period.
And even when they did test some of the sirens, some folks were not even able to hear them. So there were even a couple problems in that area. My name is Michelle Masurgeon, and I'm a member of WestPAC, Westchester People's Action Coalition, and I'm also a member of the New York State Greens, and I'm a community activist in Westchester regarding Indian Point, and I live outside the 10-mile radius of the evacuation plan. As a person who lives outside of the 10-mile radius, the folks in our community are very concerned that as folks are evacuating, they're going to come through our communities where even on a good day, the roads are congested. So imagining people going to and fro, and the evacuation plans even call for the roads to be closed in one direction. So even if you were trying to go and pick up your child from a school or go and pick up someone who is homebound and does not have the ability to get to a bus, let's say if they're sheltered, and the plan calls for you, for citizens who have cars, to be kind enough to pick up people who can't drive, which in reality most folks are really concerned about taking care of their loved ones. So there is a question of those who are homebound, not able to drive. The plan calls for you also, if someone doesn't pick you up, that you go to the nearest bus stop. And for some folks, that might not be easy to get to the nearest bus stop, and the nearest bus stop might be a ways, and you have to wait for the next bus to come. So, like Joan stated, a lot of the plan looks really nice on paper, but in actually having it work and being feasible, it leaves much to the imagination. I also wanted to point out that the plan that's in place really focuses on a limited radiation leak and not a major nuclear meltdown, which is much, much more dangerous. So people in my community are trying to petition and ask their villages to look at the evacuation plan and make sure that our community, even though we're not in the 10-mile radius, is still safe. We've even petitioned our local school officials to make sure if our children are stuck in the school that they're safe in the school. But putting all that aside, we really don't feel that, given if there is an accident at the plant, that people within or even those of us living outside the 10-mile radius will be safe, will be able to evacuate. And like I said, even on a good day, the roads are extremely congested in Westchester.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's time for me to go, folks. Sorry about this abbreviated version of taking it to the streets, but, you know, until I know exactly what's going on, this is all that I'll be producing for this morning. So, hopefully, I'll be talking to you again pretty soon. Until then, I'm Stephen the Road Warrior, thanking you for tuning in to 99.5 on the FM dial here in New York City, WBAI.org on the net, thanks to Mark Marshall, and streaming at 2600.com, thanks to Emmanuel Goldstein and his Off the Hook crew, who could be heard on Tuesday evenings at 8 o'clock, preceding Barbara Nimri Aziz with Tahrir, who comes on at 9, and she's followed by one of my previous guests, and that was Ken Gale of Nuff Said, airing after Barbara at 10 on Tuesdays. Anyway, folks, that's it for me. thanks again. And hey, stay tuned. I've been here. No, I'm gone. Love ya. Peace.
Psych job on you. Well, actually, not. Usually when I guest host. Then I play my theme. I'll be in T from the past and taking the train to Tibet. But however, since I'm actually not going to be T this morning, I'm actually going to be Anthony, a kinder, gentler person. I figured I tried to keep a Marvin thing in there, you know, since this is Don't Mess With Mr. T from the Trouble Man LP, and T Plays It Cool, which is my theme song, my theme music, that's also from the same LP, but this is Regina Carter. Oh, you know, so I figured jazz, you know, a little. You'll get it, you know. If you don't get it, don't worry about it. What's the, today's like the 28th, January, 2002. It's 3:22 in the morning. I'll put 3:20 to 6:55 a.m. That'll be, this, by the way, is a No More Radio special, even though, well, don't worry about that part. This is a No More Radio special. And I have a lot to say. And I suppose you have a lot to say, too, but, you know, we'll get to you. That's all I'm talking about. Oh, good. Ooh, let's listen to a little bit of this more. As I indicated at the top of the hour, it's now 3:24. You don't need to know the time. It's after, it's in the early in the morning. If you're up this late, you don't want to know the time. And, as I indicated at the top of the hour, when Uncle Sidney was getting off the air, this is another, yet another take on the events of the past 13 months or so. My take, which is decidedly different from everybody else's take, which is, when I say decidedly, I really mean decidedly. But that's neither. Well, that is going to be here and there. Anyway, since it's the 28th, I just realized I got to bring this book back to the library. Or I got to call up their line and get an extension. Well, I can knock it out. But then again, I got to get up. Oh, man. It's complicated. Plenty more pages I got to read. I'm at 4:30. The book ends at 4:72. What's that, 42 pages? Oh, no. What's who? Oh, that's, yeah, 470. Well, roughly 42 more pages in this book. You know how when you go to the library, you know, you're looking for certain books. I was looking for what was like, what was this? What's the name of the book? I think it's called Steel, Guns, and Germs, or Germs, Guns, and Steel. Something. I think it's Germs, Guns, and Steel. I was looking for it. They didn't have it. That's okay, fine. Because, you know, every once in a while, I do descend and read a nonfiction book. I don't actually like doing that, but sometimes I do lower my standards and read a nonfiction book. So I figured I'd do that one. But it wasn't available. So I was looking through the shelves, you know. And I said, well, let me get a John Sanford book. And I said, nah, I'm not in the mood for John Sanford. You know. And I was looking at some other novels. And then all of a sudden, it's sort of like this book popped out. And you know, the biography is a decidedly, you know, American art form. So I said, well, here we have something, a biography. It's like, it's not a novel. It's not fiction. And it's nonfiction, so it's like a good compromise. And so it just jumped out of the shelf for me, so I decided to read it, since I am a theater person. And it's the, Joe Papp, An American Life. Helen Epstein is the author. Came out in 94, copyright 94. And, I've seen Joe Papp. I've never, like, met him, but, you know, I saw a lot of his productions when it was happening. But, you know, you don't really know somebody. So I read the book, and it has helped. I didn't realize somebody's biography, because, you know, usually we did biographies like, you know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, or, you know, something like that. But, like, Joe Papp, I read his biography, I was like, whoa, hey. I mean, you know, I've read, you know, Richard Wright and stuff like that. But I'm serious. Like, Joe Papp, maybe it's just the times we're going through, but Joe Papp's just helped me enormously. It's, I can't tell you, immeasurably. So I'm about to finish this book. We'll be back in the library so somebody else can take it out. I love libraries. If you don't have a library card, get one. And in fact, use it. You know, go to the library. Because, you know, if you don't use the library, then, you know, the budget cutters, they, well, it's all in the PAP book because, you know, that's what happened in New York. Now, I won't get into all that stuff. You read the book, go to the library. Oh, let me start this way. So, as usual, I was minding my own business. And, let me start another way. I'm going to start with some music. This will be better for you. It'll be better for you. Maybe it won't be better for you. It'll be better for me. I was substitute hosting for Crosstown Traffic, which used to come your way 3:30 to 6 a.m. on a Thursday night in the Friday morning, if you will. And, you know, it's a music program, so I do music. But events happened and got off, you know, sometimes I had to, when this whole thing started, I did three special programs on the nature of community radio and BAI specifically. And then about a week after I did that, or 2 weeks after I did that, the gag rule came down. So I'm going like, well, I was through talking about it anyway. But then because I'm a contrarian and the gag rule came down, of course, I'm going like, wait a second. Hey. But not really. And I really violated the gag rule. Not really. But then, you know, as time marched on, other events happened. And somewhere in there, I decided to play a program that was run out of this station. Yeah, it was run out of the station. It was. It's not an interpretation. That's for real. And because we were doing special programs, we were doing these programs in South Africa. And because when we run out of the station, the parent company, or the I'm sorry, I'm getting hyper. I'm hyperventilating. I don't want to call any names, but the people that were ostensibly in charge of the parent company at that particular moment, I shouldn't say parent company because that's not what it's about, but I have to say it that way. The parent company at that time was a parent company. They, where this program that was run out of the station, oh, let's, in honest, in full disclosure, it was Democracy Now. And I, Anthony Sloan, I'm actually the erstwhile engineer for Democracy Now. Well, I guess I'm not erstwhile, I am the engineer for Democracy Now. Well, when we ran out of the station, you know, I was doing my job at Democracy Now. And when we were, guess what? Then the parent company said, well, you know what we'll do? We'll suspend them without pay. That'll teach them. Then they'll really have to do something. But of course, you know, they underestimated the power of, how you say, community radio, or the people in community radio. And we weren't like the people that they put in the station. You know, just think if some of these people got suspended without pay, would they come to work? I doubt it. Anyway, well, I can't say it. Maybe they would. Nah, I don't think so. No, they wouldn't. Anyway, so I was, you know, still doing my little thing, you know, with Crosstown Traffic and Engineering Democracy Now. And then somewhere in there, like, you know, I'm going like, well, Democracy Now is not on airways of WBAN. At the time, we didn't, you know, it wasn't on WFUV either, you know, the 91.1 that was airing us. So it was like not heard in New York. I'm going like, wow, hey, man, we should, like, come on, we need to have it on. So we would, well, it was like the War and Peace Report because, well, I'll tell you what happened. What happened was, you know, the World Trade Center got bombed. And so what I did, I played a, you know, a two-hour, because it was a three-and-a-half-hour, rather two-and-a-half-hour time slot. So I played a two-hour version of Democracy Now! I mean, you know, just put the thing on. And I put some water behind it or some you know, Honor Summer Chicago, somebody. I just think there's some water behind it. You know, it's like, so that we, you know, still be some music happening. You know, water's mathematics is music. But, well, we won't get into that. Anyway, so people got miffed. And then, you know, I went back to doing some music. And da, da, da. Then we did this Betty Davis special. And then, oh, no, I take that back. That's not what happened. I'm wrong. What happened was, this is before the 11th. You know why I know? Because I got kicked off October. Oh, maybe it wasn't before the 11th. I take it back. Yeah, it was after the 11th. Because what happened, well, there was a program we did from Durban, South Africa. Let me put it that way. And, well, again, suspended without pay, told us not to go. But Chris Abrams still went with our producers. You know, we didn't care. What do we care what they think? And this program happened to have featured on it Danny Glover and Jesse Jackson. There was a story on the slave trade in Sudan. There was a story on the caste system, you know, the women, the untouchables in India. And then Bishop Tutu did a speech. All around Durban. So I had to be 40-11th. And I played that. Well, it irritated some people. So anyway, so I go back to, you know, doing the thing. And then I was supposed to do a program. And I was going back to music. Well, music, you know, I just thought it was so that the people needed to hear that. I mean, you know, BAI, of all places, we needed to hear that. So I played it, you know. I tell you. So then what happened was I was supposed to do this program with this DJ, because he has a new record label, and, you know, he's a, you know, I just wanted to talk about the industry, the record industry, because that's what, you know, we do on Crosstown Traffic. And just as I was going to do that, up comes, like, October 1st, or somewhere around there. And when I walked into the station on Saturday or something, it was the first week in October, so, wow, someplace in there. And I wanted to see Jeannie, and the old station manager who got promoted to be the national program director, which made her my boss, who was the same person that ran us out of the station. Can you imagine you run somebody out of the station and then you become their boss? what twisted, perverted person would want... Never mind, I won't get it. So they were bringing in the new station manager to the station. And the new station manager was there, and the national program director, who wasn't the station manager, said, I wasn't supposed to be in the station. And I said, poor Kay. Why? Because of what, you know? And she didn't give me a good answer. She said, no, I said, well, I'm here to, you know, do something with Jenny. You know? She runs into Jenny. And Jenny said something to her, and I'm standing out there with this new guy. I'm just shooting the breeze and saying, well, you know, you down with this? He says, well, you know, I have nothing to say because I don't take over till Monday. This is like a Saturday. I don't take over till Monday, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay. She comes back out. Jenny said that you got it, whining on and on, you know, that affectation in her voice. And I'm all like, look, I ain't going to struggle around this, you know, this is fine, you know. And you're not going to do your show on Thursday. I was going to do a promo for the show for the man. I said, well, that's fine. Just give me a memo. Just tell me that, you know, the show is, you know, preempted. I'm not supposed to be on stage. Just give me a memo, you know. You'll get a memo, you know. Okay, fine. Yeah. So she storms out the station. I talk to the cat. I said, yo, man, you know, so what should we do about this? He said, well, I got to Monday. I said, okay, fine, you know, so I'll see you in a week, you know. So Monday come around, and I come bop into the station at night because I was hanging out with David Wright, you know, to do orature, and my name was, and I was bad. I couldn't come up to the station. I was like, I wasn't banned from the station. It's just that the building had a memo or a piece of paper. Nobody's name was on it. Well, my name was on it, but it's no official paper. It didn't have, like, Pacifica letterhead or nothing like that. Nobody signed it. They said these people weren't to be allowed up. And then, like, especially Anthony Sloan. It's really, it said, especially Anthony Sloan. It was real. It was quite cute. And so, you know, so the cat couldn't let me up. And the cat was like, man, but I love you, man. It's like everybody that I like, it's not, they can't get into the building. Everybody that I like, I'm going like, well, you know. So I had to get something. So I had them send me down something because I don't know what it was. So I come bopping up the station. Next day, I come in regular business hours and come in, plop myself down in the new station manager's office and say, so, what's the deal, man? Yo, what's happening? Like, they wouldn't let me in the building last night, and I got this program to do with it. Well, he said, let me get this straight. I don't understand one thing. You signed this thing that said that it was an unsafe workplace for unsafe workplace. Yeah, I said, yeah, for Democracy Now is an unsafe workplace. But for me, you know, I mean, when I'm hanging out with Democracy Now, it's unsafe. But, like, who's going to bother me? The only hassle I get was with, you know, with RoboCop over there. You know, other than that, nobody bothers me. And he says, well, I just still can't understand how it's unsafe, you know, for you then, but it's not unsafe now. I said, well, it's just the reality. It's the way it is, you know. He says, well, I don't want you here. I said, fine. Just give me a piece of paper. You know, just tell me I'm whatever I am. I said, you'll have it at the end of the week. I said, fine. And he said, and if I don't have it at the end of the week, you can call me on Monday. You bet your, you know, that you'll get it. Well, before I go into anything else, let me just give you the kind of music. Well, I'm going to interview this producer, and this was going to be his one of the things he was going to play, because this is his new record label, and it's the artist from his record label. So it's a little break for us as we go on. The story continues. It's going to be good. And by the way, if you need to talk to me, if you have this number, if you need to talk to me, or if you doubt it, what I'm saying, then you can call me at 212-209-2900. That's 209-2900. After the record. The record's about 5 minutes, I think. I don't know how long it is. What is it? Don't say. Well, here it is. Some house music. Oh, you ring now, but I'm not going to answer it until the record's off. Or maybe I record the middle record. We'll see. Because it's house, you know? Check you later. going with me. Who's this?
Hey, man. Ibrahim here, man.
How you doing?
RoboCop and stuff, huh? What do they have against you, man?
What do they have against me?
Yeah, what was it all about, man? I mean, you know, you're a cool dude, and, you know, you've been with the station a long time, and...
Oh, well, what I think would happen?
Yeah, man, what's up with that?
What did they have against... What did basically, the person that was the interim station manager and became the national program director have against me?
Yada, yada, yada.
Well, I think that what happened with her particularly is that I was like an irritant, you know. Sometimes people want to dismiss you, then when you find, you know, like the art of war, when you start irritating people and getting to their people, then it's difficult. In my particular case, as I indicated, when I played that thing from Durban, South Africa, I played it on a Friday morning, and the next person to come on was one of her minions, that being Marjorie Moore. And even Marjorie had to give it up and say, "Yo, man, that Bishop Tutu was amazing." And then of course at the other side of mouth, she started to slam the program. But the thing is, so that's one of the people in her own camp saying, "Hey, wait, something's happened. This is good," you know. Then at the same time, I was technical director for, you know, the Midnight Ravers,
yeah.
and so that was another one of her little things, like she's trying to smooth and stroke them. So I'm in that camp, and then plus when I'm coming here, and Democracy Now! Is not in the station, and then I look through the Democracy Now! Door, and the computer is on, and that door is supposed to be locked. That's information. You see what I'm saying? So you can't have somebody like that in your midst.
But
she couldn't ban me. And in fact, this other guy that came in as the general manager, couldn't ban me either. Now I'm not saying names. You know why? Because I don't want to dignify. I don't want these people's name ever said again. I think the thing that you need to do is not say these people's name again. Say what they did and what they were. That's it. Don't call them names and don't say their names. They're just wiped off the planet. You know, wipe off our reality. So that's basically what happened. So when this cat, this general manager came in, this new general manager came in, his first act was actually to, you know, verbally ban me. And I didn't get any memo on this. But subsequently, and this is where it really gets very quite interesting, what he said to me is when the Democracy Now! Situation was cleared up, then, you know, I can come back into the station. Well, the Democracy Now! Thing got cleared up. And so I came trotting in, you know, doing my job to try to give them a promo for it. And they kicked me out the station again and said that, well, Democracy Now! Thing is not settled. I said, okay, fine. You know. So I go trotting out. You know, I was on vacation. And then when it got officially settled, I came again. I came again to the station with my little promo. And that's when RoboCop... That I will slander this person's name, and I will say this person's name in just a bit, because this is really, as we say, messed up in the hood. I'm going to say messed up. I came to the door. The person opens the door and says, you're not supposed to be here. I said, oh, yes, I am. I come to see, you know, the station manager, and I come to deliver a promo. And he held the door. He said, well, you know, you can't come in. He blocked the door. So I put my hand and said, look, I've been building the station since 1983. He said, well, I've been here too. I'm going like, I don't care.
It's like you're not supposed to be. Well, why are you here? Oh, no, you're not supposed to be here.
But, you know, however it went. So then he says, well, then he calls Fred and says, you know, get the station manager, you know. And so he's relaying the message to the station manager. And just a second, Ibrahim, I got to say what that was.
Okay.
That's actually a cut called Going Up by Dawn Tallman out of Slag Records, and that was a mix done by the writer and the producer of this single, Glenn D. Thornton, whose birthday was yesterday, by the way. Yesterday meaning, like, Saturday.
Fellow Aquarius.
43 years old. Okay, you know how you Aquarians are. Oh, that reminds me. Somebody's birthday's coming up. I better check my book. Anyway, he actually is the DJ for Together in Spirit, the downstairs DJ for Together in Spirit. And this release has that's his mix. And also on the same, that wasn't his mix. That was actually Will Milton's mix, who DJs at Together in Spirit upstairs. And that's sort of like the gospel, soulful gospel house mix. And it's the kind of music I dance to. So that's why I play that. And it's a good record. I don't know if you can get it, but, you know, just take a look out for Slag Records Slag Records, or SLAAG at AOL.com is the email. SLAAG at AOL.com Glenn D. Thornton is the producer and writer, and that was Dawn Tallman is the artist. And for more information on that, just listen to Jeannie Harper's Liquid Sound Lounge. Comes your way on Saturdays from about 6 to 9.
Jeannie.
Okay, so look, so basically I sat there, I walked in and sat down. Said, I'm just, you know, just tell me, I haven't got any word that I was banned. In fact, when I asked this person, was I banned, they said he wasn't giving me anything. And this was at a national board meeting in Washington, D.C. They were very, and that's the same board meeting with this other producer, a person on the payroll, union member, said that, you know, that I can't say what he said on the air. That's how foul it was. In front of the station man. The station man didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Told me to bend over so he can, you know, do stuff.
Oh, this was one of the most polite producers on the air at the AI.
And so I'm going like, oh,
one of the 13 monthers.
So I'm saying I'm not gonna go there. So anyway, basically, then here's where it really gets strange. Then another producer, department head, comes up to me and said, well, you know, this is part of your own doing. I said, look, you need to shut up. You know?
What part did you have in it all?
Yeah, it's like I brought this on myself. I'm saying, look, you've been saying that for a lot. Just stay out of this. Be me and RoboCop over here. And then Fred comes, I can say Fred because he's reception. Receptionist comes from trying around this. Said, you stay out of it too. I'm going to repeat, this is between me and RoboCop, named Paul Williams. Right? You know, swagging around here, his black T-shirt and his black pants, and, you know, like he's some jackboot, you know, cat from another century, you know, from another era. I'm going to tell you why I'm mentioning names.
You're getting kind of heated here, Anthony.
That's right. I thought I'd be gentle, didn't I?
All right.
I don't want to lie.
All right.
Anyway, so the department head goes trotting off and gets this memo. Now, here's where it gets really strange. Because this was after, and everybody, the Democracy Now thing was settled, right? And it's and in other words, when it's settled, I'm supposed to be back in the station. The memo says, to Sidney Smith, Director of Operations, when Sidney's Director of Operations. Right now, Paul Williams, Director of Operations. From Robert Daughtry, General Manager. Oops, I said the name. CC, Matthew Finch, Arch Director. Date, 10-3-01. RE, that's referring to, Anthony Sloan. Please be advised that until further notice, Anthony Sloan is not to be admitted to WBAI for any program. The situation with Democracy Now! Must be cleared up first. This applies to anyone else with Democracy Now! Who may want to enter the station for another program. There is to be no admittance until we have reached an agreement. Now, in other words, when they finally gave me this memo, everything was settled, so I could have just took the memo and say, hey, but don't you see the memo that you wrote says I'm supposed to be here? But since they were all, you know, they were just, you know, oh, we're in the heat of battle. We're, you know, even though the edicts have come down and it's been settled, we're still going to fight. We're still going to fight and we're going to win. Well, I guess they didn't read their own memo.
So I guess you were disqualified from doing any kind of producing just because of association with the Democracy Now! Is this what's happening?
You know, that's what happened at the time. But see, all that stuff is done. I'm not worried about that right now. And I'm gonna tell you why I mentioned particularly Paul Williams' name. I think it's I can't even describe a word for it, but Democracy Now! Produces out of another space, and we send a signal to Washington D.C. They send it up on the bird, and you get it here through what's called the KU band. So somebody has to sit at this board and bring it up. When I do Democracy Now! As the engineer, one of my jobs is, they call me the music maestro also, because what I do is I'm in charge of the musical breaks. And what, unbeknownst to some people, I guess people who don't really listen, is that the musical breaks are sort of integral to the program.
Yeah.
They bridge things, they bring things together. A musician, Holly Near, actually, to tell you the truth, said, you know, sometimes when the information is so hard, so dense, and she can't take it anymore, up comes a musical break that sort of, you know, relieves her. Just, you know, just it's like that valve that releases. So I take my job very seriously. So to have someone who is so integral in trying to hold things down, so I'm going to say it, jackbootish for all these months, to now sit at this board. And when a musical break comes on to impose his voice on Democracy Now! Over my work, I'm peeved, to say the least. I'm peeved. You see, everything that's happened in this whole situation, I have not said anything until somebody peeved me.
Don't mess with my music.
Don't mess with my breaks. So that's it. That's all I'm going to say on that. And I'm going to go to this little fine cut. I'll check you some other time.
Hey, all right, later.
All right. Oh, this is WBAI, by the way. And we're in New York. And, well, let's all breathe. It's now 3:54. And, you know, if you want to give me a call at 209-2900, you can. Somewhere in this little cut, I'll bring you up, bring you in. Little ambiance for you. More kind of like housey kind of thing for you. Hey, this is from a CD that Everything But the Girl put out of songs that influenced their way of working. I sort of like this one. Maybe I'll take a call right now while this is going on. For some reason, I have to drop this call because it's a nice and very important part I want you all to hear.
Shall we?
I guess we shall. WBAI, you're near.
I'm so glad to hear you back. I called you once because I enjoyed your Marvin Gaye. I guess you did a series.
Oh, yeah? What Marvin Gaye record did you like particularly? What's your favorite Marvin Gaye?
Well, I also liked the monologue that you gave. You gave some history about his murder and how he possibly could have lived if they had found the gun or something. There was a time where the police had come to the house because of the... They didn't know where the father was. So.
That's right. He bled it up. Well, look. Just tell me give me one of your Marvin Gaye. One of your Marvin Gaye songs that you like.
Oh, what's going on?
What's going on?
No, but it was.
What's going on?
What I mentioned to you though, I had a daughter at that time who was 13,
mm-hmm.
and she loved Marvin Gaye. She wanted to grow up and marry Marvin Gaye, and I just thought for a child that age to be able to realize his genius was quite wonderful. And I wanted to say quickly, because when you're playing the music, everything that you're saying rings true. Because when I heard that interim general manager mention the Heritage Foundation from the very beginning, that was a hint to me what was going on. And I spoke with that person on the phone, and she outright lied and said she didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
And then later on, every time I would call polite person on Saturdays with the jazz, he hung up on me every time I would try and mention that.
Wow.
And then finally, someone said it was taken out of context. But that's a hint to anybody what this is all about when they said the Heritage Foundation had to be a part of this. This station was too much to the left. I heard her say that, and she outright lied to me on the phone.
Okay.
I called.
Okay, let's listen to this.
Everything you're saying is true. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies, distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, friends and enemies.
There were thieves in this temple. Do you understand? They tried to steal your radio station. Thieves in this temple. And love came quick. Hey, love came. A little work. Love had to have a little work. That's what happened.
Well, let's see.
WBA, you know.
Yo.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm well.
I'm just glad you're back, bro.
Well, I really don't. The funny thing is that I don't really do, every once in a while I'll come on the air real early in the morning so nobody will know that I'm here. But I'm not really interested in doing a regular radio program. Let me put it that way.
You should reconsider that, brother.
No, I don't. I've done a lot of radio in my life. I let other people do it. So when I came back, actually, all I wanted to do with the arts department is just do like author interviews, and actually my radio dramas. So we're trying to get a situation to do my radio dramas, and I got some other things. I might read this other memo that I wrote. What I'm up to these days, not these. I mean, for specific areas. I might read that a little bit later.
Almost
4 o'clock. Hey, by the way.
Yeah.
It is like, this is WBAI New York, 99.5 mm-hmm. FM radio down. So, yeah. That's it. Anything else you want to say?
I wasn't in the studio, but I was listening that day that thing happened on with Democracy Now.
Mm.
You know, I was, and you know, it hasn't been the same for me, man. Ever since that day, it was like, you know, just, I knew somebody was fronting.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And until something came out, man, I wasn't even going to tune in.